Someone say amen and amen. Wow. Isn't God good? So all the time, somebody say all the time, God is good. I'm going to be changing my mic. Where's the white one? They hide him in the cross. I don't know if that's... Amen. I'm going to change. Is that one better for me? No, probably not. We got that one, a white one, a little bit better. Testing 1, 2. Is that one better? That one's better. It sounds better. All right. Here we go. I'm good. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. If you're like, I thought Jude was over. This Monday, I was getting ready for work, and I said, Ted, I just feel like in my heart, I said, we're not done with Jude. We were going to start this Star Wars series, and to be honest, I know nothing about Star Wars, so maybe it was a little bit of like, I don't even want to talk about Star Wars, I don't even want to do a series on Star Wars. How many people like Star Wars? No one? Good, see, it's a good show. I don't know, y'all, all this side likes Star Wars, and you guys are with me, you're feeling it. And so this Monday, I woke up, and I said, Ted, I just feel like there's something else that Jude would have for us to say. And I felt like it was the doxology, the ending part of Jude. And then I never texted Victor. I never texted him. Victor prays over the songs. And so I was going to text him, but I said, I'm not going to text him because I got really busy. And don't you know what we just sang is what Jude just proclaimed. And it always feels good to know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Can I get an amen? And so this morning, I feel like the Lord wants to say some things to this house, obviously specifically on declaring the glory and the honor and the power of the Lord. Just a couple of announcements. Next week is Mother's Day, and we're going to have fabulous Mother's Day. We have a special dance coming for you. We have gifts, and we're going to have a photo booth. So make sure you show up for Mother's Day. The next Sunday, Brother Charlie and Tina Sange, our missionaries, are coming, and they called us, and they said, Tara, and they minister in Tequila, Mexico, and they are seeing miracles and healings, and they are going to come 2 weeks from today, and they said, we believe that God has the same for your church. Can we pray for miracles and healings? And I said, absolutely. So we're going to call it a miracle and healing day, and pastors, Charlie and Miss Tina Sange will be ministering in 2 weeks. And so make sure you mark your calendars. We're going to fast together as a church and believe we have some healings that need to happen in this house. And we have some things that that people need to be healed and delivered. So we're going to believe for that in 2 weeks. And then the next week, we're going to celebrate our 5 graduates that are graduating from Hope Community. And Landon is going to help spread the word. If you were here last week, Landon did fabulous. Would you turn to the book of Jude, Jude chapter 1. We're going to get there. When I was a kid, my parents came to know Jesus. Whenever I was about 8 or 9 years old, our neighbor stopped. We have a very long driveway. My neighbor has a very, 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 very long driveway. It goes into the woods of Berg. And he stopped at my parents' house, and he asked us to come to church. He was a Presbyterian. Anybody knows what a Presbyterian is? So my mother was sort of wrestling with the Lord. She said, God, just send me a sign. And so our neighbor asked us to go to church. My mom and my whole family go to church the next Sunday. My mother gives her life to the Lord. She got saved. And so she gives her life to the Lord, and we became Christians. I got saved. My dad got saved. My sister, my brother, we all walk with the Lord. I am very thankful. And so anyway, we grew up Presbyterian. Now, Presbyterian is a little bit different than what the church that you're coming to this morning, but they're Christian nonetheless. They're very into liturgy, which is sort of like repeating prayers. And one of the prayers that we would repeat when I was young, we would pray the Lord's Prayer. Anybody, I would pray that every Sunday, every church that you would go to. I was Catholic before I was Presbyterian and then became Christian non-denominational. And we would sing the Lord's Prayer every Sunday in our Presbyterian church. And I'm not a good singer, but it sort of sounded like this. Just excuse the terribleness. And it said, Our Father, you know, we were saying, which art in heaven? Anybody knows the song? Hallowed be nobody else was Presbyterian, obviously. Thy name, thy, and we would sing it. Right after we did worship, we would sing Our Father. Then the pastor would come up and he would preach his sermon for about 20, 25 minutes. And at the end, we would sing the doxology. Now, does anybody know what a doxology is? For example, a doxology, this is actually from the Greek, it is a doxa, meaning glory, splendor, and grandeur. Somebody say glory, splendor, somebody say splendor, and grandeur. So the doxa part of this means all glory, splendor, and grandeur, and the Greek word logos, which actually means the word or speaking. So really what a doxology is words of praise to God. Now, didn't we just do that? We just sang what? Words of praise to God. Now, in my church, we would actually sing a doxology. And I don't know, every service, at the end of the service, we would sing, praise God from whom all blessings. Anybody know this flow? All the old people? And praise him, that's 40 and up, all creatures here below. And then we say, praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and... okay, Holy Ghost. And then the lady was saying, amen. And I just felt that. I don't know. But I still have it memorized. I'm old school Christian. And so we would sing that 52 times a year. And my family was in church 52 times. Every single time we would sing that. Now, here's the thing. The early church, that's not like, you know, church in the 70s. I'm talking about the church after Jesus rose back into heaven. The early church would always have a doxology. Y'all say that word, doxology. Now, my name of my sermon is No Apology. Here is my doxology, mainly because it rhymes. But I also think that Jude, after he writes this fabulous message saying how the glory is God's, and then he sort of kicks us in the butt and says, hey, quit living like the world and like the culture of the day that you're in. And then last week, Pastor talked to us how to walk in love and how to walk in praying in the Spirit. Jude concludes his message with something that is called a doxology. And he doesn't apologize for everything that he's written before. And he says, hey, this is something that concludes the message. So essentially what Jude is saying, he's saying, we are going to give all glory and honor and praise to God, whether through word or whether through song. Now, this happened all the time in the Old Testament. There were doxologies. We have a couple on the screen. I know you're waiting for me to get to the actual part of Jude, but I want to explain. He wrote his letter in the pattern that would make sense to people that would have read the Old Testament. So whenever we look at the Old Testament, there's something that happens for us in the New Testament. And Jude, as he's writing a doxology, he has many to pick from. For example, in Genesis chapter 24, in verse 27, it says, blessed be the Lord God, my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth. So again, this was an ending, but also a glory unto God. In 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and verse 13, right when they built the temple in the Old Testament, they say this, yours, O Lord, didn't this sound like what we sang this morning, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. O Lord, and you are exalted overhead over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. So they're sitting there and the temple's built, and here they come with a doxology. In Psalm 72, David quits his writings, and guess what he includes at the end of his writing? Someone say, a doxology. He says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen, amen. And the word even says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So again, he finishes and concludes with giving all glory and praise and honor unto God. Let's flip over to the New Testament. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 46 through 49, God gives Mary Jesus as a virgin. And here's what Mary says, her own doxology. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he is mighty, has done to me great things, and holy is his name." Now, whenever you're writing a doxology, in case you want to write a doxology, you're writing a letter and you want to end your letter, I always just put sincerely. How many of y'all use sincerely? Somebody the other day, they used warmest regards. I was so excited. That sounded good to me, like warmest regards. And then they asked me to do five things for them. And so, but it was good. It was good. And so then, when you see a doxology will have four parts. It will have an addressee. So somebody say addressee. They will have someone that they honor. They will have the duration, what the doxology is about, and then they will have the response. So when we're reading Jude's doxology, and believe me, we're getting there, whenever we look, we want to find the addressee. We want to find who was it written to, who gets the honor. What is the duration of this word of God? And then what is the response that we are to give? Because if you walk out of today and you don't have a response to the message, then you would question if what you did had any action behind it. So when we address someone and we show them honor, not only do we take the duration, but then there is a response that we are to have in our lives. So look what Jude writes. Are you there? The last couple verses, Jude, actually 24, verse 24 and verse 25. Now we're going to do this together. We're going to sort of take this as a class. I'm a teacher. So it says, "Now to him." Everybody say, "Now to him." Now, who would you think the addressee is? I have it in quotes just in case you were God. Okay. So we are addressing, at the end of Jude's letter, he is addressing God and saying, "I've wrote some things, but now I am turning the attention and my affection, I am turning it back to God." It says, "Now to him." And then it says, "Who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." Now it gets confusing because that's actually the duration. Let's read that part again. "Now to him who is able," God is able. Remember what Jude writes before. He reminds you of all these things that you could get caught up in. And he says, "But I serve a God who is able to keep you from" what? Stumbling. Not only is able to keep you from stumbling, he is able to present you because of Jesus blameless. The only way that you can be blameless is if you come underneath the blood of Jesus. If you think you're blameless because you're a good person or you showed up to church this morning, you were wrong. The only way that he can keep you from stumbling and present you as blameless as if you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus and say, "He's blameless. Therefore, I stand underneath him." And Jude reminds us as we give this doxology, he says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you as blameless before the presence of his glory with great job. With great joy." Somebody say joy. So he presents us with joy before his Father, God. It says now in verse 25, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So he gives honor to our only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ. So if you have been kept from stumbling, if God has presented you before and he presents you with not only, he presents you with the presence of his glory and his great joy, it says then we're to have a response. And the response is at the end of verse 25, and it's really what I want to talk about this morning, because I think most of us in the room, we understand that God has taken us in, that he is able to keep you from stumbling. He He is able to present you from as blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy to the only God and Savior, our Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the response, somebody say the response. The response that we are to have is that we are to bring glory. Now, there's three parts of this particular doxology. And I'm this morning, for just an object lesson, I just want to have the words in front of you of what we're supposed to present in our worship. Glory. Somebody say glory. If you're taking notes this morning, there's the first one. You hear this all the time. But glory is different. I've been reading Jackie Hill Perry, and she writes about God's glory and how it's so hard to describe because it's something that is not here. Like, I watch a game. I love basketball. I'm watching the finals and whatever place we're in right now, and the Pelicans are out. And so, but anyway, that none of that brings glory like God has his glory. You could be excited, you could have a fabulous day, but the glory of God, and John MacArthur, I have a quote about this, the glory of the Lord is the expression of God's person. And that's difficult because we haven't seen God. We felt God this morning. Sometimes you feel the presence of God. You'll know that the Holy Spirit has shown up in a powerful way in the room. But whenever we express glory, it's expressing glory to something that we cannot see, something that at times we cannot feel. And yet Jude writes his letter and he says, to the only one be all glory. Somebody say glory. The glory of the Lord is the expression of God's person. It is a manifestation of God's character, any manifestation of his attributes in the world, in the universe, in his glory. So sometimes when we see a sunrise, you can see a glimpse of God's glory. Sometimes when you're looking into the sunset and it's beautiful and you've got the trees with the moss hanging down, you know what I'm talking about. It's an expression of God's glory, but still we haven't seen God face to face yet. But we still give him the glory. Somebody say glory. The glory of God is the brightness to the sun. The glory of God is what wet is to water. The glory of God is what heat is to fire. It is the product of his presence and the revelation of himself. Anytime God discloses himself, it's always in the manifestation of his glory. Somebody say his glory. And what are we to do? Our response is to say, all glory belongs not to me, but to who? God. I love when an athlete will say that. I don't know if they mean it, but all glory belongs to God. My life, my response, my life belongs to God. My worship belongs to God. My family belongs to God. Everything that I am, it belongs to God. So my expression is, whenever I give my doxology, and we're getting ready to give some, is that God, you get all the glory. Somebody say glory. Now, Jude doesn't stop there. He takes another one, and he says, now we're going to give God, what's the next word? Anybody sees it? In the context of that scripture, all the majesty. I heard someone say it. And so we're going to say that word, majesty. Now, majesty, in its simplest form, is the greatness and the magnificent of God. The biggest picture I have, we went to, during COVID, I believe, we took a lot of vacations because you had to, you know, I don't know what else you could do. And so we went, we drove, did we drive? We flew. I don't ever remember these things. But anyway, we got to experience the Grand Canyon. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? I got a picture, I think, of the Grand Canyon. For me, the Grand Canyon is probably one of the most majestic things I've ever seen. Because this picture cannot define what the Grand Canyon is. It is, we were driving on this flat desert road for about three or four hours. It was just cactus. And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, this canyon, which we call it the Grand Canyon, you could just literally stop and get out of your car and see the canyon. You could drive 2 miles, get out of your car, and see another part of the canyon. You could drive another 2 miles, and there was another view of the canyon. And each view was equally as majestic, and it was equally, it is unbelievably deep. It is unbelievably wide. And you could go on for miles and miles. You could hike down the canyon. And every part of it screams the majesty of God. It was unexplainable. For me, I loved it. My kids, it was 20 degrees and it was snowing in the Grand Canyon at the time. So they're up in the car and I'm like, but I just want one more picture. I want one more shot that displays what? The majesty. You ever been in the mountains or canyons? I think so much of nature displays the majesty of God. So we are to give God glory, but we're also to say that he is full of majesty. Somebody say that word, majesty. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, it says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty, the splendor, for everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all." Now, it's interesting that it ends with head over all, because Jude writes that into his doxology. He says, God, you get all the glory. Somebody say glory. God, you get all the majesty. Somebody say majesty. And then he ends with these words. He says, God, you get all of the what? Somebody reading it? The dominion. We're going to put those two together. Dominion and authority. Now, dominion and authority. You remember when Jesus goes back up into heaven, and right before he does, he says, all authority has been given to me. Not me, but because of Christ, yes. But all authority has been given to Jesus. He declares about himself that all of this is his. All of the glory, all of the majesty. And then he says his dominion and his authority. So God has the absolute power. Somebody say power. God has the power. When I declare that, here's what it does. It releases my hand from the situation. It releases my hand from my family or the things that whatever it is that you try to control. You try to control someone, a person, a situation. We all do this, right? We put our hands. But what happens is whenever I declare that God has the dominion and authority, you see how clenched my fist is. I'm a fighter. And so, I have a little anger streak. And so, anyway, when I release that, here's what happens. Now I'm declaring, God, you have dominion and authority in that situation in my life. God, you have the power and you are able to do that. I love what Priscilla Shira says. She says, everything that has happened to me has been sifted through the hands of a loving God. You might not like it. You might like the circumstance, the situation, but all of this has been sifted through the hands of God, and he has dominion. Somebody say dominion. He has authority. Somebody say authority. So he has ultimate power. He has rule and reign. He gets to govern then. He will govern. He governs now, and he will govern at the end of time. All of this is not getting away with all these things that are happening in their world. He has the dominion and the authority, and he has the right to do it. So let's read it together, verses 24 and 25. It says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you as blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory." Somebody say glory. Majesty. Somebody say majesty. Dominion and authority. Somebody say dominion and authority. And then he ends like this, his letter. "Before all time and now and forever." And then he puts that famous word that we misuse all the time. He says, amen, which in Hebrew means so it is, or let it be. And sometimes we'll throw that up in a classroom setting or at a job, amen. But what it's saying is everything that I have written is a correct and underneath authority of Christ. And then he says, let it be so, or so it is. Does that make sense? And so what we're doing is we're releasing that unto the Lord. Our response is, God, you get the glory. God, our response is, you get the majesty. God, our response is dominion and authority. So all you're doing this morning is what I'm asking, is that you would release those things that have been burdening you, those things that have been troubling you, those things that maybe you're trapped in a trap of sin or culture, or maybe you're not been walking in the spirit of grace and of love, all those things that Jude reminded us about. Here's what he's saying. Here's what he wants us to do. He says, I want you to release that to the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord, and the dominion and authority of the Lord. And then he says, let it be so. And so this morning, I teach young people, and I just felt like, hey, we're going to do this together. I teach our teens here, and so I'm just teaching in the same way. I want you to grab a paper that's on the side of you. It's on your chair. We're going to put some music on. Put the other one, not the other one. Yeah, and grab one. Who doesn't have one? If you don't have one, would you just raise your hand? We're going to get one to you. It says doxology. And anybody else need one? I want everyone to have one. This is yours. Please take it home. Hang it up in your car, in your whatever you look at the most. All the fellas said the mirror. I love teens, said the mirror. And so you got it? Everybody, who needs one? Anybody else needs one? Do we have that one? Yeah, we got some more. Everybody has one? Anybody, just lift your hand if you need one. Everybody's got one. I thought this, and we're going to read this together. I think sometimes we don't know how to pray. I have kids that I'm trying to teach how to pray. It's been interesting that, Mom, you pray for me. No, you pray. But I believe there's a power that we can have. And when I was getting and grabbing into the Word in college, I started reading the Word of God, just loving the Word of God. I remember writing these to my friends. And if I would write a letter, I would include one of these into the letter. Why? Because I know the Word of God is powerful. I don't have any power except outside of Christ. So I would begin to write these things. And I just think, as a church, what if we just sort of spoke this over our church? We began to speak this glory and this power over our area, our community, our job, our family. And you just begin to speak doxologies, which is glory and praise unto God. Now, we have all kinds of examples in the Bible that I've spoke of, but the writers of the New Testament, they would always include these in their letters. And sometimes, most of the time, it's at the end. Sometimes you'll find, like in Ephesians 3, he'll be right in the middle. He's just like, let me talk about God for a minute. And then he comes back and comes and grabs a hold of some things and some truths. But this morning, I just want to read this together, declare this over our lives, over our family. And then when I want you, what is your response? Well, I want you to give all glory, majesty, dominion, and authority over to God, because it's His anyway. I want you to just say, Lord, just have your way. And then just begin to speak this. So we're going to start at the beginning. Now, if I could sing, we would sing it, but we're just going to say no to that. And we're just, you know, we're going to say these together. And there's a couple of them, I know, but they're so good. And then maybe grab one or two out of those that really, this means something to you, and begin to declare that. This whole month, really, I've been in Jude, and I've just been declaring Jude now to God, who is able to keep me from stumbling. I changed you to me. Who is able to present me. Who is able to give me the glory with His joy. To the only God and Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, and dominion, and authority. And the Bible says this, when we lift Jesus high, He will draw men to Himself. So let's read together Romans chapter 16, 25 and 27. We're going to read it out loud. That's all right? We'll just do that together. Let's read it out loud. It says, now to Him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic warnings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith and the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read Romans 16, 25-27. Let's read the next ones, Philippians 4, 19-20. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In Ephesians 3:20 through 21, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant, equip you with every good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 10 through 11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And the end of the book in Revelation 19, 1 and 2, it says this. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying, and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged her on the blood of his servants. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? God, we give you all of the glory. God, we give you all of the majesty. And God, today we say you have all dominion and authority. God, we join ourselves with Paul, who wrote these letters, and Peter. God, we join ourselves with Jude. God, we join ourselves with King David. And God, we join ourselves with Mary, the mother of Jesus, who always ascribed all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. So God, this morning we ask as our doxology that we would give praise and honor and glory to God with our words. And our words would not be used for evil. It would not be used to speak death over someone. God, it would not be used to speak death over a situation. But instead, God, when we are tempted, we would grab that word of God and speak the word of God. Speak these truths into our family. We would speak these truths into our schools, into our jobs, into our community. And we might not be able to see it with our physical eyes, but God, we know that the word of God stands true forever. So we'll speak these words. God, these will be our songs. God, we give you all of the glory. We give you all of the majesty, of the dominion and the authority. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let it be so. Hey, guys, grab these. Bring these home. We love you guys. Go out and speak God's word over your life. Make sure you join us this Wednesday at 6:30. And don't forget to go thrift store shopping and help our kids get to camp. In Jesus' name, if you want to grab one for your friend, they got a couple available too on this side. If you want to put it up in three places in your house.